Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Al-Qaeda. The original hunt for Al-Qaeda continues today to our understanding. Where is Al-Qaeda in 2024? With all of the burden of four wars in Eurasia, what about Al-Qaeda, the transnational bad actors who threatened America and continue to threaten all of our allies? As we understand it, Al-Qaeda is a transnational sinister threat and will remain so until I welcome Bill Rajo, a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, keeps the Longwire Journal. Longwire Journal has been key to the Al-Qaeda hunt since the day after the attack. However, there are avenues to follow, and one of them is Afghanistan. One of them is the Taliban in Afghanistan. And these last days, in a podcast that Bill makes with his colleagues, Generation Jihad, he had a chance to talk to his partner for many years, Tom Jocelyn, who's now at Just Security, a senior fellow. But Bill and Tom were wandering down memory lane, the search for Al-Qaeda, the dealing with Taliban, those many years that the U.S. and NATO were present in the country providing security. And it turned on the release most recently, the 1st of May, of a 9 or 10 hour transcript of testimony by the Trump administration's special negotiator with the Taliban at the so-called Doha Agreement in the winter of 2019. His name is Khalilzad. He was born in Afghanistan, and he's represented several administrations in that part of the world, the Bush administration, the Obama administration, to my understanding, and the Trump administration. And he's still representing his mission to deal with the Taliban, to deal with Afghanistan for many years. Bill, a very good evening to you. It was wonderful to hear you and Tom talk, and I recommend everybody listen to the podcast, because it's great entertainment, given that we're talking about such a bloody-minded topic. However, what I learned from you and Tom talking about the transcript from Khalilzad's testimony to the U.S. Congress under oath is that the decision was made by the Trump administration in the fall of 2018. Fall of 2018, before or after the midterms, is indifferent because of the decision was made to leave Afghanistan. What happened then, Bill? What was the thinking at state and at the White House? We're leaving, and what do we do about it? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. Yeah, and first, you know, look, if we didn't have dark humor in this business after 20 or after 2+ decades, I'd have no humor. So it is good to get with Tom and to, you know, talk about these very serious things in this somewhat lighthearted tone. But the after the Trump administration. So you have to remember, in 2017, after coming into office, he issued a get tough policy with both Pakistan as well as the Taliban. Of course, Pakistan is the backer of the Afghan Taliban. And he tried that for almost a year until he backtracked and said he was done. Afghanistan was too hard, and President Trump wanted to withdraw from Afghanistan. This is in line with his predecessor, President Obama, who also wanted to leave Afghanistan and tried to negotiate with the Taliban, but the Taliban wouldn't budge on any of the demands from the Obama administration. So President Obama kicked the can down the road. President Trump appoints Zalmay Khalilzad, who was the He was former ambassador to Afghanistan as well as Iraq. He's an Afghan himself. And he names him the special representative for Afghanistan reconciliation, which is an ironic term because there never was any reconciliation and the Taliban never were going to reconcile. And this was all designed, this position and the negotiations with the Taliban, which Khalilzad was in charge of, was all designed to get the U.S. out of Afghanistan. It wasn't the goal wasn't a peaceful settlement to a war. It wasn't to get Afghans and the Taliban to create a unity government. That was all really merely window dressing for the withdrawal. And the U.S., you know, went down this road and conducted this elaborate form of performance art for almost 3 years before President Biden was elected and ultimately pulled the trigger on the withdrawal using the deal that was made by Khalilzad under the Trump administration.
So Khalilzad, who was the audience for that deal? He's in Doha. They have almost a Taliban embassy. The government of Afghanistan at that time, my memory is that it was not invited in. Who is Khalilzad talking to?
Yes, John, you are correct. The Afghan government was locked out. The negotiations were between the U.S. and the Taliban. And the audience really wasn't the Taliban or the Afghan government. It was the American people. The Biden administration Trump administration wanted that deal. So we could say, look, we have a deal. We can leave Afghanistan. We have this agreement with the Taliban. And what both the Trump and the Biden administration hope they had with this deal was, if we were harking back to Vietnam terms, is a decent interval, right? The U.S. would leave, the Afghan government and the Taliban would fight or whatever would happen. And there wouldn't be collapse for several years down the road. And we could say, look, we tried, you know, when we left, everything was fine. We had a deal and, you know, things didn't work out. Well, unfortunately for the Biden administration, there was zero decent interval. Remember, they were predicting 2 years for the withdrawal, for there to be the government to come under threat after the withdrawal. And that happened in real time. As the U.S. was withdrawing, the Taliban was taking over, and the Taliban even took over Afghanistan before the U.S. left. So that deal was really for the American people, to placate the American people. So, look, we left Afghanistan. We did our best. Oh, by the way, Al-Qaeda is not going to have a safe haven there. That was one of the parts of the deal that everyone knew that the Taliban wouldn't agree upon. So, yeah, this was a piece of diplomacy, oddly enough, that was more aimed at the American people than at the people that it would impact the most, which would be the Afghans that weren't part of the Taliban.
The reason we're following the logic of leaving Afghanistan is because what Bill just mentioned. The Taliban is not a transnational threat. They host a transnational threat. So you have to deal with the host before you get to the weapon of choice behind the threat. Bill, right now, we have information. You've developed it at Long War Journal, and you and Tom talked about it, that there are Al-Qaeda training camps in 10 of the provinces, perhaps 13, because you identified three that were always Haqqani network that is Al-Qaeda. So there are 10 or 13 provinces in Afghanistan with Al-Qaeda training camps. Did they have reason to believe that those camps existed or would exist again when they were making the deal in Doha in 2019? Did they know Al-Qaeda was part of the Taliban's success?
Yeah, John, they should have known. And based on how Al-Qaeda has operated historically in Afghanistan, and I've tracked this over the last 15 years, many of these provinces identified by the UN are traditional areas of operation for Al-Qaeda. These are areas that have hosted Al-Qaeda safe houses and training camps, you know, all the way back to pre-9/11 and even during the U.S. presence in Afghanistan. So, and you had mentioned the three provinces, Paktia, Paktika, and Khost, that the UN hasn't identified as having Taliban training or Al-Qaeda training camps. Again, you mentioned this is where the Haqqani network operates. The administration should have known. And to be honest with you, at least I know individuals within the intelligence agencies and the military knew that Al-Qaeda was operating in these areas in the past and likely would be in the future after the U.S. withdrawal. But the problem is that information was neutered as it made it up to the chain of command. And the common narrative was Al-Qaeda and the Taliban relationship has been severed. Al-Qaeda has been the D words, decimated, degraded, defeated. I could go down. There's a whole list of them. Khalilzad in his testimony added dismantled. What I'm looking at based on the UN information is anything but a dismantled, decimated, degraded or defeated organization, training camps in 10 provinces, madrasa or religious schools in 5 provinces, safe houses in multiple provinces throughout the country, including safe houses used to transit Al-Qaeda leaders from to and from Iran, where some of their top leaders are based, and even a weapons storage facility in Panjshir province, which was, that's both symbolic and as well as an interesting location because of its remoteness, but also where that's the home of the National Resistance Front. So that's a message as well as, good business. The administration should have known this, but again, they sold us this deal that, part of it was the Taliban promises that Al-Qaeda wouldn't pose a threat from its territory. Well, if training camps that were used pre-9/11 to attack us aren't a threat today, I don't understand. Maybe something wrong with me and my perception of threats. I suspect it's just because the government doesn't want to admit that their withdrawal from Afghanistan was a failure. The U.S. government, the Biden administration, refutes the UN reports on this, but provides no reasons for why they would refute it. Khalilzad himself has thrown cold water on this and even stoops to the low level of criticizing the head of the UN Security Council, who is from Indonesia, by the way, as questioning his credentials to be able to sign off on this. The UN's, it's called the Analytical Support and Sanctions Monitoring Team, has done excellent work on the Taliban-Al-Qaeda relationship and the global threat from terrorist groups, and has been highly accurate. And it's one of the most interesting as well as reliable pieces of intelligence that's made public to the people. And the fact that Khalilzad has to try to demean the work of this group really says more about Khalilzad than the work of the sanctions and monitoring team.
So the testimony that Khalilzad gave to Congress was November of 2023. And 6-7 months later, we get the transcript, which is 9 or 10 hours of testimony about Khalilzad. Does he maintain, because you've listened, I haven't, you and Tom were talking about it, does he maintain that his Doha agreement is a success today?
He does. It's interesting, and in the testimony, he's even confronted about this. Remember, Ayman al-Zawahiri was killed 1 year later after the U.S. withdrawal in a Taliban safe house in Kabul. And Khalilzad says, oh, yes, that's a clear violation of the deal. However, we should keep following the deal because there's never been any repercussions for the Taliban's violation there. And if it's taking the risk to shelter the top leader of Al-Qaeda, we can assume that it's taking the risk to shelter mid and lower level leaders of the group. And this is what the UN data shows. Khalilzad the last report from the UN was issued in, it was a couple of months ago, and Khalilzad, he poo-pooed it and said, no, this isn't true. And the Taliban is, the deal is the best way forward. Tom and I were talking, and I said, it would be one thing if Khalilzad, had failure and, quietly walked off into the sunset. But he hasn't. He's recommending policy for Ukraine and continuing to maintain the Doha agreement is viable, and he's saying other things. I mean, the worst thing that you could do is listen to losers when it comes to foreign policy. And yet the problem is in Washington, no one keeps score. There's no accountability. And, Khalilzad is merely just one of many who are responsible for significant foreign policy failures who've never paid a political price.
I'm speaking with Bill Rajo. He's a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. We're speaking about a conversation that Bill has. It's a podcast available. It's an hour with his colleague, for many years, decades, Tom Joslin, who's now at Just Security. But Tom came back for a conversation about Khalilzad's testimony to Congress, just released the 1st of May. All of this points to failure after failure after failure and fiction. When we come back, what could have been? We're going to do what is called revisionism about how this might have been managed and that Al-Qaeda wouldn't be camped in 13 provinces today, preparing its depredations for the neighborhood and the world. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino. Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.